see what happens. All right, praises. Keith.
I have probably a handful, but I'm a grandpa.
Oh, my goodness.
I made it through my first semester. There's 9 or 10 tests over almost about a week, like that many exams. I still feel fuzzy brain.
I bet. Boy, I'm glad I'm not doing that now. Made it. Chad.
Well, I know it's early, so it's a little bit, but we don't want everybody praying for the wrong thing. So hopefully in about 8 months we're gonna have a
congratulations.
We'll see.
Awesome.
It's early.
Trying to keep him to wait until the first trimester is over is impossible. He was shouting it to strangers yesterday.
this isn't our first rodeo with it, but we're feeling pretty good about this.
Well, we'll start the congratulations now. And the prayers heavily.
Lord,
watch over this kid. Keep this little guy safe. Get him here. Get him here. Amen.
Granddaughter or grandson?
Granddaughter.
Congratulations.
Yeah, there's lots of babies popping up.
I can't wait for mine to get there. Not my baby, my daughter. I'm too old for that.
Wait, what?
Please, God.
No, more kids.
Well, you know, if
keeping everybody at home was being productive.
Hello, Ed.
Good morning.
You realize that if mature women did not have children, I would not be here.
Well, I would die of a heart attack. God would have to take me.
I'm trying to think if my mom was 50 yet when I was born.
Oh my goodness.
Real close, right at it.
But, well.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be a shocker.
I was the 12th at the end, 6 years after the previous one. Kind of a surprise, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any planning involved except much higher.
Well, thank goodness the Lord doesn't let people have children like he did in the old days, you know.
Like Sarah's where she's
going.
Yeah.
Well, we only have a couple of cases of that. But in fact, I'm going to be reading about one of those today in the message a little bit later, Zacharias. We'll have some fun with that today, I think. Anyway, who else has a praise? Yes, Josh.
I had a good week, and the Lord held off the rain that we're getting now off of this Friday so we can finish the job. So.
Amen. I'm sorry for those of you that were not able to attend, but we had a blast at the Christmas party.
Oh, yes, we did.
I told you that I've not laughed that hard in I don't even know how long. We need to have a Chad and James at every party.
Well, we pretty much have had at every one of them. It's always somebody that ends up in the center of the ring, and happened to be James and Chad this time.
That sloth is front and center. Sloth inside my house. I'm telling you right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Christmas ornaments on it.
Well, you walk inside our front door and it's staring you right in the face.
And its legs extend and it's on this like mantle-ish kind of thing when you first walk in, and so it towers over you.
Oh, you can't miss it.
Yeah, you need to take his little hand and put it like this. Because verse 24 of chapter 19 says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again.
Put a piece of paper out, put it on, and sit there.
Okay.
The scripture.
Oh, yeah. We had a good time. It was good. All right. Who else? Praises. Yes, Desiree.
Amen. I praise the Lord for giving me a very, very successful and wonderful week. Well, if Keith also is a grandfather, it means I'll be a grandmother. And I'm just thankful that she delivered her baby without any complication.
Amen.
That's a good thing. And that's it.
You probably need a new boyfriend. You're way too young to be hanging out with Grandpa.
Well, those kind of things happen sometimes.
Oh, well, I guess so. I'm just kidding, no.
Keith says, I'm going to have a talk with you later.
No, she's...
Yeah, it does.
That's why I said that, because it's coming back around. You have several that I need to pay you back for. All right, it is. All right, who's next? Praises. Sherry.
So far, all the medical tests are coming back good, so
all right.
A couple more to do. So.
Amen. Ed?
Happy to be here.
Amen. You still employed?
Still employed.
Hey, there's praise.
And I'm in the middle of changing jobs. I don't start till Tuesday.
Okay, all right.
I had to go to the dentist with some bad teeth.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm 50, almost 50 years old. We'll say 50 years old, right? I'm cutting wisdom teeth in my top.
You're kidding. Oh,
wow.
On both sides now.
Wow.
Well, it's about time you was there.
About time.
Came to the right church finally.
Yeah.
My dental records to top wisdom teeth were pulled when I was 18 years old.
What?
Something.
I had an extra one. So
somebody stole your identity.
Matthew had two extra teeth.
Well, that explains that. But it's genetic.
Well, you just had double wisdom then.
I have one less.
It's very painful.
I only had three.
And one of them got
infected. I know some that'll
yeah.
on antibiotics, but it turned out it's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord for that.
Once
I still haven't had any pain or any. I'm guessing, I don't know, that I had a tooth filled years ago. And last week, the tooth fell off and left the filling.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's a big hole back here. I have not had one bit of pain.
Some word for that.
Amen.
It's not sensitive to heat or cold. I use electric toothbrush and... It doesn't, no pain when I brush my teeth.
Well, you're lucky because
I've
had a lot of pain.
I wouldn't know if don't it fell off until I bit something hard and I was eating something.
Paula, what's your praise?
This isn't really a praise. It's kind of going along with the teeth thing.
Oh, no.
He's talking about the wisdom teeth. Well, all of my teeth was wisdom teeth because that was my maiden name.
Oh, well, anyway. That was your maiden name.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. See, wisdom is a feminine name, so there we go.
I was wise.
Yeah. There we go. There we go.
The Lord even seemed fit to give me another shower.
You know, we talk about how when you tithe, you know, God makes things last longer. Like your famous air conditioner that's, how old is that thing? 20 years old before it finally died. Well, I had a temporary crowning put in about 25 or 30 years ago. And that thing is still holding great.
It's a temporary
crown.
It wasn't temporary, apparently.
It was a stainless steel cap, and they filled it full of epoxy and put it over the stub that was there and crimped it, and it's still holding great. No pain, no issues, no problem. It's still working. Still working. Bubba and then Joshua.
I got a bridge 40 years ago. The dentist still can't. They go freak out. It's just as good as they put it in.
Yeah, bridge might have.
They don't do that no more.
They don't build bridges like they used to.
No.
Sarah Palin, bridge to nowhere.
Oh yeah, well, yeah. Joshua.
I was talking about teeth and stuff. I'm praising God for good teeth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Growing up in the hills in the backwoods. Is famous for bad teeth. I don't know if you realize that or not. There are reasons for that. You wouldn't probably know it today, but that's how I grew up. I never went to a dentist until I was about 17 years old.
Before that, you'd wake up and there's a woodpecker on your chin.
Before that, they were pretty bad when I finally went. Actually, if you start brushing them, it helps. But you're laughing, but it's
identifying.
that's life in the backwoods, folks. It's tough back there. I didn't grow up like most of you grew up. I grew up under some pretty crazy circumstances by the standards from which we live today. Some of the things that all of that taught me have turned to have the Lord used it for good. But it's weird. It really is. Paula.
I was in the country like that, and it just really a rough, and it was rough.
Yeah.
Laundry, we had one of those old wash machines that you had to crank it. And then to hang it on the line.
Yes, I remember hanging.
You were pretty much uptown. A new washing machine in my neck of the woods was a rubbing board and a tub.
Yeah.
And that wash pot out in the back put the fire on it.
Gilbert knows exactly what I'm talking about.
We had a wash board too, but we had the wringer to wring the water out of it.
Yeah.
That's a number five wash tub.
Number five. It is a number five. It is right. Gilbert.
Yes, that also brings me to recognize when I was 25 years was the first time I went to a dentist, and I still have all my teeth.
Amen.
And I attribute that to that water from Mexico. And talking about washing, the women used to go out there and make soap out of the gourds and then slap the clothes into the rocks clean the clothes on the rocks.
On a rock. Yeah. Didn't have a rubbing. Those rubbing boards actually work pretty good.
Kids these days would benefit from a little bit of that.
Now it's a musical instrument.
Put some arms on you.
You know, we had to go about three to four blocks distance just to collect the water for drinking, for washing, for everything.
Yeah.
And we come out of a rock, out of basically a crack in the rock, and the water would spring out of that rock.
Yeah.
And Moses smacked
you were fortunate because that means you had good water. Yeah. Denise.
I guess that's where the city was born, so to speak.
I want to give thanks for this new job that I've been at for a couple months now. It's going really well. I feel like I'm really, caught on and whatnot. And it, of course, making a little bit more money. So it's helped me to be able to give more, not just to, the Lord, but... my sister, she's been in a little fix. She's in the, she's a waitress, so she's, with the whole pandemic, she's kind of gotten in a hole a little, and I've been able to help her as well.
Yeah, amen, amen. Other praise, Vicki?
I finished my Bible this week.
Oh, wow. Braggart? Okay. That's a praise. Tammy?
This past week has been 6 months working as a floral designer, and I'm grateful that I've learned so much in that 6 months. So.
Cool.
What kind of designer?
Floral designer.
Floral. Okay. You said squirrel.
They're matter of fact, I know that Lisa's seeking some decorating help after church today.
So. Some what?
Decorating help.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So, then. Joshua.
Yeah, praise God for my wash machine.
Right?
Yeah, if I had to do what y'all had to do with my little kids, I'd just jump off the cliff.
You just deal with it.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Because they're big enough to teach them how.
I am his washing machine.
Sometimes people say to other people, man, I don't know how you do it. Well,
you do what you have
got
to.
A choice.
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there that we really don't know how they do it. other praise, Cecil took a spill after the party at my house, but he's okay.
Amen.
He skinned up a little bit. But
bandage on his head.
Yeah, he took a pretty good bump.
That was known to try to get that waffle maker.
Yeah, that was it.
Put him down and take it out.
That was it.
I'll get that waffle.
He was guarding that waffle maker so tight going out the door. Because he didn't know if Nona was gone yet. So.
James was like, Chad's a lot like me. He makes jokes in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah, we had so much fun. It
was great.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the Lord for that. That was friends and hanging out and church family and everything. That was amazing.
Amen.
It is.
Well, I've been, what, 3 or 4 years now, and this is, Friday night was the best of all.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Well, we had to just, it's the people. Had good quality people this time.
Yeah, man.
Got the riffraff out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we had a good time. We had
23.
We had 23 adults at the party. 23. I didn't count the little one, the one little bitty one that came, but that was a pretty good group. We get too many more in there, it gets a little bit crowded, but we'll handle it. No, it's not the same.
It's
just not the same when we'd have stuff up here versus the house. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's not.
It's just a home feeling, you know,
a
family feeling.
Yeah, it is. It just seems to make it work.
A very warm home, very nice home, and I think everybody here can agree with that. It's a wonderful place.
Well, we actually built it. The last two houses that I've built, we built specifically for having home groups. All the wide open interior, we laid it out expressly for that purpose. Jerry.
Praise the Lord for my health, and I had a pretty decent week at work.
Amen. Good deal. Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah,
all right. Christine? And then Daryl.
Just being able to be inventive, I decided I was going to make royal icing cookies with the kids, and I blew up my mixer. So I had to go back to old school, what my grandma used to do to try to do things, and made that work. Ended up still not being able to use it because apparently I blew things out of the motor into the icing too.
You literally blew up your mixer.
The vanilla color, you know, they used to have.
It's probably like 15 years old. Right?
She's probably older than that.
On top of that, our coffee pot decided to just go kaput too.
Give up the ghost.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I guess if I'm going to go do anything now, I can at least go get a stand mixer instead of just a kitchen mixer because hand mixers are about $40 a piece now. And I'm like, no, I'll just spend a little more and get a little bit better setup.
There you go. Hey.
I admit, I have both, and I still use the hand one most.
Yeah.
After that, I'm just like, no, I don't want to spend $40 on it.
Yeah, Lisa had one of these big Hamilton Beats with all the bells and whistles. Yeah. I can't remember who she ended up giving it to, but it was, it never got used. She used the hand one. Yeah. Daryl, what's your praise?
I got to tell my buddy this week. He came by the shop and brought his truck in for a scan.
Good. I got a sensor I need to replace, whether it's for a check engine light. I forget which one it is, but it's not on my Dodge. It's on a Toyota that I bought. So
I have another praise that I'm going to leave unspoken to the Lord, like a prayer request, but it's a praise, unspoken praise. The Lord knows what it is.
Okay.
He opened the door for me to bless somebody.
Okay, cool. Amen. Well, we're going to learn a little bit about shopping today.
Cool. Shopping.
Y'all interested in shopping?
Not really.
Oh, come on.
All right.
What about shopping for big items like a house or a car or?
Nope.
Oh, that's stressful.
You don't have a choice.
I mean, there's certain things you're gonna need. Now we're down to verse 14 of chapter 20. Okay, that's where we are. Did I miss any praises yet? Did I leave anybody out? No? Okay, good. We're down to verse 14. And so I'm going to let you decide. I'm going to let you express your opinion as to whether the Lord is stating this as something that we probably should do or stating it as probably something we probably shouldn't do. Because he doesn't say one way or the other. He just spits it out there and leaves it. And here's what he says. This is right after don't be lazy, okay? Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Then he kind of like he changes the channel on the radio station, and here we got a new subject. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. What does that mean? First of all, what is it saying? And then we'll discuss whether it's a good thing. Go ahead, Daryl. You were up first.
Well, it reminds me of when I'm looking for a car to flip. And I'll downplay that car. It's not worth it. And I'll get it for the price I want and walk away all proud.
And then brag later.
Brag later.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He's pretty much got it described.
I got 500 bucks.
Well, that's all right. Is that, everybody agree that's kind of what this is talking about?
Well, you know, Paula? What if you don't have the money for it, though, and you do try to see if you can get it for less?
Well, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about pointing out faults to get the price reduced. Is basically what you're talking about here. Or are we saying that it's not what it's being represented to be, and maybe or maybe not it is? That's where you're coming up with your dishonest factor, I think. First of all, is this something that you've done?
Far be it from me. If there's something wrong with it, I'm going to tell them. I'm not going to lie to them about it.
No, I mean, have you downplayed what you're trying to buy? Oh, there's something. Well, it's just not worth that.
It may not be worth it that much to you.
I'll have to tell you, I have probably never once in my life paid what someone was asking.
Of course not.
You always have.
Why would you?
Well, I mean, there we go. This is what we're talking about here, isn't it? Do you just pay what they're asking, or there are some people that do?
I wouldn't have my car if I hadn't have said I can take
and it. Conversely, prices are set
before you can do it
based on haggle room. Yeah. Based
that
on
also depends on the price of an item or a service. I'm not going to haggle with my prices at my shop. That's the price.
Okay, well, Vicki?
I mean, the value of these is subjective as to supply and demand. I mean, I think back in the day, there were some dolls called Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, my
God. They were such a hot item that they couldn't be found on the shelves. As soon as they were on the shelves, they were gone, and people were willing to pay thousands of dollars just to get their kids this hot Christmas toy. And you look at some of the things that people are paying for old toys now. I mean, that were $5 when we were kids, and now they're selling for
antiques.
Thousands times that much.
Value of items, material things is very subjective.
What it's worth to me may not be what it's worth to you. You might think a new Red Ryder in the package BB gun would be the most important thing to have, and I'm thinking, yeah, but I really like this Barbie doll over here.
That's different.
I was approached about a piece of land that someone wanted to buy that we've owned for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, something like that. And I bought it as an investment when I bought it. And I've just been sitting on it. So taxes up until this year weren't bad, but now it's time to get rid of this because taxes are getting, they've raised the taxes through the roof. But the guy says, you know, I set the price. Here's what I know I can get for the property, and it for that piece of property it turned out 36 is what it turned out. He said, "Well, would you take 32?" I said, "No, it's worth the 36." He said, "Well, how about 34?" I said, "Well, how about 37?"
That's real estate right there.
And he said, "Yeah, it's worth 36.
Well, you can't blame him for trying, though.
Well, I mean, it's good to know this. Yeah. Why do you think the Lord's got this in the Bible? I mean, why is this in here? What is he trying to teach us with this? Vicki?
I also think that he's trying to teach us to be good stewards. I mean, if you're being a good steward of your money, you're going to be looking for the best deal, whether it's on eggs or a Chevrolet, you know?
Yeah.
You want to pay the best price that you possibly can so that you can have more money to, you know, for other things.
Sometimes you're responsible for more than your own money. Cecil and Ray and myself are the three elders in our church, and we meet. Matter of fact, we got to set our meeting up pretty quick because it's December And we've got to have a budget ready to present to the church here at the end of the year, at the first of the year. As we do every single January, we present a brand new budget. It doesn't change a whole lot unless we've had some major changes. And it may be reduced some this year. COVID's forced us to cut a few expenses and things like that. But I have to be able to sleep good after I spend the Lord's money. I have to make decisions on what we're going to spend here and what we're willing to, you know, to do at a given time and a given place. And be able, I am able to tell you that we have never gone in the red in my tenure here as your pastor. We've always been able to stay in the black and take care of business pretty well. I don't think we've ever done without much of anything, but we've always paid our bills and done well. We had one year that we, our account dipped really low. And when it happened, I was on top of it, and we started cutting expenses. We cut out the cleaning bill. We cut out the donuts. We spend about almost $400 a month for donuts. And, you know, for the break, we're going to take here in a little bit. So, and those things are, you know, some of those things we take for granted are pretty wonderful things, but I shop what we spend. If we need a new printer or whatever, we're very careful about what we buy. We want to buy good quality, but we want to get it at the right price. We don't want to overpay for it. And I don't want to be cheap either. I don't want it to come off with the business world as, well, they're a church and they expect everything for nothing. You know, no, Jesus is not broke. Okay, we can afford to pay for what we need because the Lord is provided. But by the same token, I want a fair price. It doesn't have to be the cheapest price, but it has to be a fair price. And so, you know, there are some responsibilities along with this. Jerry, go ahead.
With you saying that, Pastor, I'm gonna tell you something that I don't know if it's right to say or not, but it's a fact. In all my life growing up, in any businesses that I've ever worked for, we'd 10 times rather do a job for Jewish synagogue than we would Baptist church. The Baptist church never wanted to pay us nothing.
Well,
straight up, and the Jews would pay.
That may well be that way across the board, but that's not that way here.
I understand that.
And
I'm just telling you,
there's a reason that I want to make sure that it's like that, because that kind of a name doesn't belong on one of the Lord's real churches. That's not how it should be. Ed, go ahead.
Well, I've noticed that a lot of cultures throughout the world, from the Middle East to the South Pacific and Indonesia, they expect to be bartered with. I mean, Central and South America, the same.
Oh, yeah.
Even a lot of cultures in Europe. If you don't haggle, they think something's wrong. The U.S. is unique, and some Western European countries, in the fact that they set a price and we go pay it. Nowhere on earth does it work like that other than here.
Well, here it works like that in consumables, but not in major ticket items. MSRP is not designed to be the price you pay.
Well, MSRP.
Suggested. Manufacturer suggested retail price. Yeah.
But I mean, in the other country, even say you go to Mexico and you're shopping and you want to buy a TV, that's negotiable.
Yeah.
Walmart, just about
everything is negotiable. You're right. This is the only place in the world quite like this. So I don't know if that's good or bad. All right. Why is this in the Bible? This is your question now. Why is this here in the Bible, and is it connected with verse 15? First of all, why do you think this is in the Scriptures?
Read around it.
To make us aware of what? To wise us up to what?
The way of the world.
Yeah, the way of the world. Gilbert?
Well, and I relate to the comment that was said that God gives us these things for stewardship. You reflect, allow me to reflect on my own family. I have a brother who's older than I am, about 3 years. He bought a Shelby 500 when they first came out.
Mm-hmm.
His house in the garage has been there he takes it out maybe once a year. It's got 37,000 miles. The car has become somewhat a Dusty Idol.
Yeah.
And he's got several other things. I mean, he's got a Honda that's like $30,000, one of the big motorcycles. And then he involves himself with materialism. Mm-hmm. In a sense, this is also, I'm thinking, cultivated from the background that we come from, being a Catholic. He don't even go to church.
Yeah.
But he has created this element of everything he's got is paid for. And to me, it's me. I did this. As source of idolatry in the material element and on self. So, you know, this thing can carry further. And it's very difficult to try to convey him the message that God gives us to be able to see this and to share, like what a good steward would do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you tell him, by the way, if he, you know, God will give him his money back for that Shelby if he ever wants to get rid of it.
That's worth about $500,000 right now in the garage.
No, I just want to pay him what he paid for it. So.
That's about 26.
Yeah, about 20, 25 grand or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. So, why is it here? To show us how things work, I suppose. Vicki?
Was it talking about the person that doesn't want to work and doesn't want to sleep? Then when he goes to buy something, he goes, oh, I can't afford it, I can't afford it. You got to lower the price for me. And then he brags because, oh, yeah, look what I got.
Maybe.
Thank you, Brother Hill. Maybe the reason why it's there is to teach you a lesson, give you a little knowledge. Because, I mean, you know, most people are good people, but some are gullible. It's so that you have a little more insight.
That might just be one of the major reasons here. Look at verse number 15 now and see if you feel like that there is a major connection between these two verses. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Is this connected?
Yes. So it's wisdom.
Knowing what something is really worth. Is, you know, I mean, before I go to look at a car, I'm going to know what the NADA is on that thing, or a boat, or a whatever.
Or before you're going to sell a car or a boat or something.
Yeah, I'm going to know the NADA on that.
Yeah.
And when he says to me, well, you know, it's only worth 60, I said, no. When you add up all these extras that are on here that are brand new and put it up there, you're going to find out that it books at X dollars. Mm-hmm. You need to know what you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Now, what if you don't know? What if, Nona, your free Chevrolet dies? You know, the one you got free after the flood? That Chevrolet that everybody told you to get rid of?
Is that me?
No, and me. But what if it dies and you got to buy a new car?
I'm up the creek without a paddle.
Well,
I'll be walking.
He's wise counsel.
Yeah. If you don't know, you got a family, and I'm not talking about your uncle. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters. But don't go to, it's like financial advice. Don't go ask the friend who's just as broke as you are what you should do with your money or if you should buy this car or that whatever it is. Go to somebody who you know is successful financially but also loves the Lord and cares about you. And God's house provides that for us. We think about the church as the most important resources that we have at church is spiritual guidance. I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most precious knowledge anybody's ever going to learn how to get to heaven from here. But there are so many other things that God has provided for us in and through our church. We're a body. We're in it. If one cries, if one weeps, if one is sad, if one mourns, we all mourn. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. What does that tell you about having to make a big purchase or something? We want you to get a great deal on a great car that's not going to break down. And so there are people here that know how to buy a car. There are people here that know how not to buy a car. There are people here that know how proper financing should work versus the rip-off pawn shop style stuff.
That reminds me when James and I were looking to buy a house. Like, we had no idea what we were doing, and the houses we were looking at were not the right financial decision. So we got with Glenda, and she was like, "No, this is what you need to be looking at for your budget and what you can spend." And we're so blessed because of it.
Yeah, there you go. This is what we're talking about. The Lord has provided you resources. Use them. I'm not talking about use each other for debt or things like that or whatever, but get the help you need, the right kind. Go to somebody that's trustworthy, that you know cares about you, that's knowledgeable with what your problem is that you're dealing with. It won't always just be the pastor. There's other people that know lots more than I do about lots of other things, so. But the Lord's house is rich with wisdom, absolutely rich with wisdom. It's one of the most precious things that we have. And then verse 16 goes into debt, talking about debt now. Only it's not talking about borrowing money. It's talking about whether or not you should be willing to lend any money. And I am really not the person to ask about that, because I have messed that up so many times, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But this is a very difficult verse to understand. It says, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." Strange woman? What? Lord, any concept of what that might be talking about?
Well, all women are strange.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
Well, you are. Now.
Men are even stranger.
The only thing I'm led back to is a proverb that talks over and over about strange women. Beware of strange women.
Yeah.
So a strange woman, I'm going to say, is going to be a bad thing in this context.
Well, I did a little research on this because when I look at that, I said, "Yeah, Lord, I'm supposed to know what that means, you know." Like, so I started looking things up. The King James translation on this strange woman, it's really specifically talking about. It doesn't have a feminine gender to it. It's a foreigner, someone who's from somewhere else. Stranger, total stranger. It says, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger." How many garments did people? What we would call common people have in those days?
Not many.
Usually one.
If they were lucky.
Usually there was one outer garment that they wore all the time. It would come off for washing and right back on. And there were undergarments, not so much like frilly underwear like you'd talk about today, but garments worn underneath the outer garment. If someone borrowed something, it was not uncommon to take their garment for collateral.
Wow.
Wow.
Take his garment that is surety for a stranger. If you don't, if this person's a stranger and you don't know them and they're wanting groceries or grain or a sheep or a goat or whatever and to pay you some other day, God is telling us that wise people, wise stewards, take collateral. And a pledge, which is also another form of collateral. It's not just a promise. There's more to it than that. For a strange woman or for a foreigner, someone who's...
Someone you don't know.
someone you don't know who's probably, in this case, might be a Gentile or somebody who's not from your culture.
That almost say you don't know them and you don't know their ways.
You don't know them, you don't know their ways. Cover it with collateral. Yes, Gilbert.
A lot of my traveling here, due to the nature of the work that I have, it seems that the Hindus and the Indians have an edge on this because they either run the motel or the restaurant or the gas station and a slew of other things in between. And they're always negotiating to take advantage.
Yep. That's way more common in other cultures than it is in ours. Although we do like to see if we can get the price down on big stuff that we buy. I definitely need to do that. Do you understand what right side up or upside down means in financial world? Yep. Did you know that it is possible to stay right side up in your car or in your house? I'm not talking about keeping the car on four wheels. I'm talking about the car always being worth more than you owe on it. Now, it's better, of course, it's better if you just pay for it so you don't owe anything on it. But not everybody's going to be able to do that, especially in our culture today. You got to drive when you get the job, not when you've saved enough from the job to get the car. Okay, so, you know, very few people, unless you've got some deep pockets from an inheritance or some other source, are going to be able to go buy your car that you need.
Or if you can drive blessed. A really cheap car and get to work.
You can. You can drive a cheap car and get to work.
Stay at home
for a while.
Yeah. And, I've done that for, I still got another cheap car, but, you know. But the only thing about those cheap cars is that they are not cheap to keep running.
Yeah.
So you have to work on them. I don't know if we learned anything today. I think we might have. I'm not sure. It was. But Daryl's going to tell you when you want to sell him that car that it's just not worth what you're asking.
Yeah.
It's a true statement.
And he probably knows whether it's worth it or not, probably knows. But he's got to come out with enough for profit. It's business. I think that the Lord has put that in here in connection with these other things to tell us that you need to know, you need to have knowledge of what you're dealing with. Or if you don't, you need to go get some. You need to get some help, some wisdom, some counsel. If you're going to end up extending any credit on it, there needs to be a collateral involved. And that doesn't always get it done either. Because if they don't pay, then you got to figure out a way to collect it. And often that is more trouble than it's worth, and you're just going to end up losing. So it turns out to be most of the time, loaning money turns out to be a lose-lose deal, most of the time. So just don't go there. Well, they don't just have collateral. They've got it locked up 40 ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
At least they don't have debtor's prison anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, and first of all, they're not going to loan it to you if you don't have a record of paying your debts anyway.
Sometimes but, they get stuck with it, you know.
Yeah, once in a while. But for the ones that they don't, they can afford the one once in a while where they do. So
they're not losing.
So they don't loan anything without a credit score.
In interest.
And if you don't have a good credit score, I love you and I hate to tell you, but there's a reason. There's only one reason for a bad credit score, and there's only one reason for a good credit score. And if you have a bad one, there's just one. And if you have a bad one, you need to turn it into a good one. And you can. You can learn. Wisdom.
That goes back to the lesson of part of your name.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your good name. It's what it is. It truly is. I'm sure that probably everybody in here had a not great credit score at some particular point in life. I have had it way, way back there, but I've had a good one for a long, long time.
About the time you opened your business?
Huh?
When you open your own business, you can kiss your credit score goodbye.
No.
Trying to launch that business.
No, I didn't launch my business with debt. I launched my business without credit. It can be done. I know because I did it. And I can help you with that, by the way. I do know some stuff that I can help you with from time to time if you need it. But right now we need to pray because you're not going to get that one of those $400 kolaches if we don't.
That's for the whole month.
Yeah, that's for the whole month.
If I want
it ought to be good.
I think the Lord has taken for the rich heavy spent 400.